So I've also in the past indicated that my library for Kachim is very limited. I've got three Svarim. I have the Masifta, I have the Keren Orah, and I have the Nefesh Tova, which is now on the missing list, but hopefully it'll show up. My son priced a Lakute Torah of the Chofetz Chaim, Lakute Halachas of the Chofetz Chaim, in a bookstore, and they won 145 shekels. So I got a little scared. I only need one volume, but they won't break up the set. So we'll have to.
For 145, you get three volumes.
So. Three volumes, yeah.
Not so bad.
Yeah. But right now, I don't know. Only one volume is on Kachin out of the three.
Oh, my.
Okay. So in this, what we're working on now, and we began 2 days ago, is the introduction of the Keren Orah to Masechta Zvachim. And the point that we spent a lot of time on 2 days ago is his definition of Lishman Shalol Lishman in three different cases. He addresses the case of Kachim, the case of Gittin, of writing a get, and the case of Megillah Sota. In the case of get, which is in a sense on one extreme of the one polar extreme, you require a positive kavanah lishma for this specific man and for this specific woman. Anything less won't do. And therefore, if he has a general kavanah for any woman that might need that get by the name of Leah in the world, that's not going to be a kosher get. It's not worth the paper it's written on. In other words, in get, you need to create a get. The paper is just niyar bi'alma, and what makes it into a get is the lishma. So that's a positive requirement of lishma. In the case of zvachim, of kachim, on the other extreme, the Torah there also requires lishma. You'd have to be l'shem chatos, it has to be l'shem ola. There are all sorts of psukim which the Gemara darshins to establish lishma. But, says the Keren Orah, what we derive from those psukim is that it can't be shalol lishma. And therefore, when he, the Kohen, shechts the Zevach, he doesn't have to have in mind that it's l'shem Olo, l'shem Chatos, l'shem Shlomim. All he has to have is make sure that you don't have the wrong Zevach in mind. That's called Shini Kodesh, Shinu Shem. The Shini Kodesh is going to passel the Kodesh. And in the middle, he has the case of Megillah Sota. And Megillah Sota apparently does require lishma, but he says, and we'll see this inside, it could very well be that there's something about Megillah Sota that automatically creates a lishma. So whereas in Kachim you don't need lishma, and in Gittin you need a positive actual reality lishma, in the case of Megillah Sota you need lishma, in that sense it's like get, but there's something that makes the lishma automatically. And therefore, it almost is equal to Kachim, where the Shalol Lishma will passel the Megillah Sota, but otherwise, in the absence of Shalol Lishma, it automatically becomes Lishma. Now, let's ask the first question. Why in Kachim do we say that you don't need Lishma? In other words, the premise of the question is that, just like in other areas of Halacha that require Lishma, we should have applied that same yardstick to Kachim, we should require Lishma. And here the Keren Orah offers the answer, which is on the bottom of the first page, the introductory page on the left column. He says that Hamaisa Atzmo, and then you go over to the second page, which is page Beis, and he spells out the four different parts of the Avodah, that itself is Naseis Behechsher. It was done in the right way. In other words, the Torah is very satisfied with two things happening. Number one, the Bala carbon designates the carbon. That's what we call Hakdasha. And number two, the Kohen implements the Avodah Behechsha, the way he's supposed to do it. What's going on in the mind of the Kohen at this point is not relevant. However, even though he says, if the Kohen has no has no kavan in mind, you don't pasul the karbon. But nevertheless, we do have a pasul that says lishma. So what do we do with that pasul? Right? And again, all the different limudim. I mean, for that you have to learn the first 10 platim of Masechta Zvachim to see all the somersaults in the air that the Gemara does to come up with lishma, that the karbon has to be lishma. He says, ki asi, what are those psukim coming to? Lima'ute dafka miskavim bolizevach achim. It's coming to exclude a zevach where the Kohen had a kavana for a different zevach. And that's where the law of Lishma comes to play. Again, how exactly that law plays out is very complicated, because we have what's called Shar Karbonos, and then we have Chatos, and possibly Osham, and Karbon Pesach. But in the case of Shar Karbonos, we'll take, for example, Ola. When we say that if he has a negative kavana, that passes the karbon, which means if he shechted the old l'shem shlamim, it's out. That's not really so, because the Mishnah says that the karbon, the zevach itself, is kosher. It's ain ola l'shem bayil l'shem chova, but it's kosher. But let's say, for example, if we would talk about a chatos or a pesach, or maybe even an osher according to Rabbi Lezer, then if he has in mind a different zevach, the karbon is completely possible. And it's absolutely worthless. And all that is because of a negative kavana, not because of a chisaron kavana, not the absence of kavana. It's not like get where you need a positive kavana lishma. And in the case of a zevach, all the Torah requires is that A, there would be a hakdosh, and the carbon was designated as such, and now it's a carbon ola, and then the Kohen does all the avodos behechsha the way he's supposed to. He's a good boy. And he fulfilled all Dalet Avodos as an Ola would be done. That's all you need, and the carbon is done. You know, we've done the Zrika and we've ended finito. But as long as he didn't have in mind l'shem shlamin, for example, for l'shem zevach acher. Okay, so fine. Now we say in Kodshim, when the Torah says you have to have kavana, what the Torah means is you can't have a negative kavana. Why not apply the same logic to Gittin? The Torah says that the because of blood has to be lishma, you need a kavanas lishma. Why not just say that it means that he doesn't have to have anything in mind as long as there's no negative lishma? So he says, Amal begerishin, isha lav legerishin omedis. And that's the Gemara here at the very beginning of Zvachim. And there's no mitzvah to be megarishin isha. Well, we're going to pick that up in just a minute, because maybe there is a mitzvah to be megarish and isha under certain circumstances. But as a general rule, there's no mitzvah to be megarish and isha. So you can't say, well, I call behechsher nasa, that everything was done the way the Torah requires it. I mean, you can say that in the, you know, in the case of the dalet avodos of a karmon, of akrovas akarmon, that you could say. But you can't say anything parallel in gerishin. And therefore, what you have in front of you is Niyar B'Alma, just a simple piece of paper. Now you want to convert it, transform it to get. You have to do something that changes the nature of that Niyar and makes it into what? Into a get. And what do you need for that? Lishma, but Lishma in a positive sense. And that's what the Gemara says. Now, what bothers me at this point, and I will say, as we go through the words of the Keren Orah, I am going to ask questions on the Keren Orah. I'm not promising you that I'll have the answers. I don't always understand what he's driving at. Like, for example, in this case of Gerishin, why according to the Keren Orah, this is what bothers my mind, does the Gemara have to bother telling me Lav Isha Lav LeGerishin Omedis, as if to say that if she was Omedis LeGerishin, maybe the law would be different. After all the Keren Orah should have said here is that there's no Hakol Behechsher Nasa. You know, you don't have the mitzvah of the Dalet Avodos that sets up a kiyum of the Akrava. You have nothing parallel in Gerishin. And I would have been absolutely satisfied to end the whole presentation at that point. The Gemara doesn't do so. The Gemara says no, because Isha Lav LeGerishin Omedis. Well, let's say I didn't know that. I didn't know that Isha Lav LeGerishin Omedis. Why not just simply tell me that there's no parallel to the Avodos? Meaning, the reason why we waived the requirement of of Lishma in a positive sense in the case of Kodshim. Says the Karen Ora, because the Avoda was done the way the Torah prescribed it. You don't have a parallel in Gerushin. So then, if you don't have a parallel in Gerushin, then I go back to square one and I assume that when the Torah says Lishma, it has to be Lishma. I don't know why the Gemara had to add this piece that Isha Lav LeGerushin Omedes. Just 1 second. Let's let the Karen Ora speak. You know, not me, but not Berzon. I just want to read the Karen Ora first, and then we can... So if you fast forward to page Gimel, he doesn't exactly ask this question, but I think he answers this question, because if you take a look at the paragraph that starts V'haya Nireh, and I'm sorry that it came out in very small print, but maybe you can read it. And he writes in the case of Get, that he says the following. What happens if a man would be obligated to divorce his wife? Correct? Now, what would be the case that he has in mind? So if you take a look at it, he quotes a Tosfos, and he doesn't like the Tosfos. So what we're interested in is the Karen Ora now. But let's see how he rejects Tosfos, or why he rejects Tosfos. So if you take a look, again, it's a very long paragraph, but about halfway, 10 lines down the beginning of the paragraph, he writes that Kosva Tosfos, De Isha Afilu Zinsa Tachas Baila, Eina Omedes Legerishin, De Eino Mechuyev Legarsha. Now, I'm going to just translate the words. Again, the Karen Ora is going to be very upset with this Tosfos. Tosfos says that if a woman was Mezana, Tachas Baila Chas V'Shalom, right? So then the law is that she's Omedes Legerishin. But Tosfos says that here too, we're going to require Lishma in the Get. And Tosfos bends over backwards to try to explain why Lishma is a requirement in this case of an Isha Shizin Satachas Baila. And Tosfos says that Eino Mechuyav Legarsha. He can decide, again, he's not allowed to have a relationship with her, but he can decide, you know, I'm not interested in being Megarisha. Again, the Halacha might force him at some point to be Megarisha, but at this point, he's not Mechuyav Legarsha. And Tosfos therefore equates Eino Omedes Legerishin with Eino Mechuyev Legarsha. And when the Gemara says that Get requires Lishma because she's Eino Omedes Legerishin, that's because he's not Mechuyev Legarsha. The Karen Ora doesn't think that's correct. The Karen Ora thinks that there's halacha in Isha Shezinsa, Kofin is Bailo Legarsha. Again, he has many proofs for that, but let's just accept it in blind faith that the Gemara establishes that Kofin Oso Legarsha. And he writes the following, Hein Emes, the Divrei HaTosfos Eino Muchrochim. Eino Muchrochim is a very edel way, a nice way of saying he's off the mark here. The Atu Be'elu Shekofin Oso Lahotzi, the case of Isha Shezinsa Tachas Baila, if we absolutely prove in a Bezdin that that's what happened, again, she may get off the hook for whatever technicalities, maybe there wasn't a Hasra or something like that, but the law is Kofin Oso Lahotzi. We have Mishnayos and Gittin that tell me that we're going to beat the living daylights out of him until he gives a get. He's not allowed to live with this woman. Now, according to Tosfos, that if she would have been Omedes Legerishin, which means if he would have a Chachiv to Megarsha, then in such a case of Kofin Oso Legarsha, according to Tosfos's logic, we would say that a get doesn't require Lishma. Does everybody have there's a whole chain of Chagadi of logic. The premises are the following. That get should logically also be like kodshim, which means that in the absence of a negative kavana, the get should be kosher. Premise number two, so why then do we require Lishma and get? It's because Isha Lav Legerishin Omedes. What about the case of Isha Shezin? So Tosa says, there too you're going to require Lishma. Aye, she's Omedes Legerishin. Tosa says, Eino Mechuyev Legarsha. Says the Karen Ora, according to Tosis's every logical step, if in event the halacha would require him to be magarisha, meaning kofen oso lagarisha, then what would be the din? We don't require lishma. Does everybody see that? I mean, just mathematically, that's the equation. Elavadai, again, the Karen Or is not willing to go this way. The Karen Or doesn't believe that there's any situation, any scenario under the face of the earth where a get could be written without a positive lishma, and it could be kosher. There's no such thing. This is a rule that doesn't tolerate any exception whatsoever. It's an absolute rule. Now, according to Tosa, it's not an absolute rule, because Tosa identifies Eina Mechuyev Lagarsa with Lav Legerish Nomenes. And the reason why you don't need Lishma, you need Lishma, is only because of Lav Legerish Nomenes. The flip side would be, therefore, that if it would be a Mechuyev Lagarsa, she'd be Omenes Legerishin, and then you would forfeit, you would waive the requirement of Lishma, says the Karen Or, according to Tosa's logic. I have a case which is going to defy the rule, and the get will be kosher without a positive lishma, and that's the case of kofen oso legarisha, because now she becomes omedes legarishin. Elavadai, says the Karen Or, I'm going to reject the Tosas. It's very chutzpahdik, you know, Tosas is a rishon. Karen Or lived 100 years ago, you know, to come along and say, well, forget about Tosas. And he says, hachi kamin, what the Gemara means is something totally different. The Be'isha, this Dama Lavli Gerishin Omedes, in a general case, again, you'll always find a fluky case, but as a general rule, Isha Lavli Gerishin Omedes, meaning there's no mitzvah, we're not going to force you, Alpi Halacha, to divorce your wife, in 99.999 cases out of 100. Is Amrina, and then we go back to the Pasuk that says, because of law, and Lishma, and there's no chiv to be Megarisha, it's optional on his part, is Kra'asi Lashminon, the Pasuk is teaching me to be Inon Kavonis Lishma. They came on to be Inon Kavonis Lishma, and Mela Adin came. Does anybody have the text? What are the next two words? Bechol Anoshim. Those are the two words that we want to emphasize. So just like the Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta tells me something that applies to all Zvachim, except, of course, the exceptions to the rule, all Zvachim, so that's called Kol HaZvachim. Isn't that the name of the perek? Kol HaZvachim, right? Last time I checked. So now we're writing a different perek. And what's it called? Kol HaNoshim. Just like you told me Kol HaNoshim. The only difference is that in Kol HaZvachim there's a chutz. But in Kol HaNoshim there's no chutz. Kol HaNoshim have to have a get that's written Lishma. You came up with a fluky case where kofen oso legarsha, it doesn't matter. I have to go back to the pasuk, and the pasuk is telling me an absolute rule. The pasuk is telling me what are the requirements for a get kosher, and the Torah says it's got to be written lo lishma. That's an absolute rule that defines a get. Therefore, says the Karen Or, when the Gemara says lav legarishin omedes, the Gemara is just giving us a point that has to be taken very seriously, that there's no mitzvah to be Megarish and Isha. Again, there will be a case where there's a mitzvah to be Megarish and Isha, but it's such a fluky case that when we talk about the context of the pasuk of law of Lishma, we're not going to talk about that case. We're going to talk about all the other cases. And in all the other cases, under the face of the earth, there's no mitzvah Legarish. And if there's no mitzvah Legarish, you need a Lishma. In the case of Kodshim, once he designates the carbon as a seventh, there's a mitzvah to bring the carbon. And how is that mitzvah fulfilled? Through four avodos. The Kohen did exactly what he had to do and he fulfilled that mitzvah. And therefore, I have already a kiyum of hakrovas hakarbon, but I can't say that I have a kiyum of creating a get with Abel Lishma because there's no mitzvah in Megar Shanisha. Tosus says, well, again, the way we're reading Tosus is that if Lu Yitzu, there would be a mitzvah to be Megarisha, we would say, therefore, that you don't need Lishma. Karen Or says, I can't accept that. I have to interpret the pasuk. I have to know what are the bounds and the definitions of Lishma when the Torah requires Lishma. And the answer is the Torah requires Lishma. It means a positive Lishma. I have one fluky case under the face of the earth where there's a mitzvah Legarisha. Had that case been your general case, and now he's going to take up Shammai, but before we get to Shammai, if that would have been the general case that women get divorced because it's a mitzvah to divorce them, if I would tell you that the Torah only allows divorce when there's a mitzvah, you know, not because she overcooked your tavshil, but the Torah says in a certain case there's a mitzvah in Megarsha, that's when Gerishin applies, then we would say, Stav Isha Legerishin Omedes, meaning whenever get is applicable, she's Omedes Legerishin by virtue of the mitzvah. So you did everything that the Torah commanded you, and you don't need Lishma. So again, Rabbosai, this is what I want you to write down, so to speak, figuratively, and I'm talking to myself as well. The main definition that the Karen Ora adopts is the following. What does Lishma mean? It depends. Is there a mitzvah or is there no mitzvah? If there's a mitzvah, then the Lishma only means don't do it Shalom Lishma. If there's no mitzvah, then we need a positive Lishma. So we made a whole big to-do here about the original statement of the Karen Ora, that Kodshim is different because of Maisa Atzmo, blah, blah, blah. Forget about all that. That's not what the Karen Ora meant. When the Karen Ora meant by the Maisa Atzmo, he meant to say that the Torah requires you, in this case, to do these Maisim. And if he did it right, Behefsha, the way the Torah enjoined him to do it, that's called Lishma. So if that be the case, you don't need a positive Lishma because you did the mitzvah the way the Torah commanded you. So why did the Torah give us the parasha of Lishma? The answer is only to tell you that a negative kavana would pass. In the case of get, if lu yitzur there would be a mitzvah lagarsha, ein ochinami, the get would not require Lishma in a positive sense. But since there is no mitzvah in lagarsha, in other words, gerushin is an option, but it's not, you know, we don't believe in Catholic marriages, right? It's an option that the Torah gave you, but it's not obligatory. Therefore, the lishma that the Torah is writing about and requiring is a positive lishma. And even if he didn't have a negative lishma, he just had a stama, you know, he said any woman with this name, that's not considered lishma, it's got to be law for this specific woman. And that's going to be the case of Lishma and get, even if there would be a mitzvah lagasha. Now we get to Shammai. That's a little bit more complicated, because according to Shammai, Otu Lebe Shammai, who says in the Gemara Gittin Daf Tzadi, the Ein Lagasha Elam Kein Zins, a few lines lower, is Nema, should we therefore conclude that Stam Stamak Lishma Kai? Meaning, whenever you have a get according to Beit Shammai, what allows you to deliver a get to your wife and divorce her? The mitzvah. Correct? And why is there a mitzvah according to Beit Shammai? Because Zinsa. Right? Zinsa was the case where there's a mitzvah to be Megarish. And according to Beit Shammai, that's the only license for a get. Then it comes out that every Isha who gets a divorce is Omedes Legarish because of the mitzvah Legarish. His name is Tomo Lishmakai. He doesn't have to have a positive Lishma. And at this point, the Karen Ora seems to raise his hands and he goes back to another framework, and he wants to suggest that in get, even if you would have a mitzvah to be megarsha, and even if that would represent the bulk and the majority of cases in which a get is given, even so, you would not apply the principle of stoma, and you would require a positive lishma. And now he has to come up with a new formulation. But in the old formulation, it really boils down to the question as to whether or not there's a mitzvah or not. Now, if this be the case, let's for a moment talk about Megillah Sot at the beginning of this paragraph, because we fast-forwarded a little bit. And he says that Hach Svar Gufa Damrinin Hacha Bein Zvachim Leget. If you want to accept my thesis, he says, about the fundamental difference between Zvachim and Get, that in Zvachim there's a mitzvah to do it by Hechsher, and therefore you don't need to come on to Lishma, and Get there's no mitzvah, then Sota, Gamkein, Stoma, Omedes, Lixivas, Megillah Ashkosa. Now Sota becomes very different than Gerishin. Sota should be kosher, even without a positive Lishma, like Kodshim, because just like in Kodshin there's a mitzvah to do the Karbon and do it Behechshah, so too the Torah gave us a mitzvah in the case of Sota. If all the requirements, all the conditions were met, then there were two Edim who testified on the Kidui, another two Edim on the Stira. Now we have to write a Megillah Sota. That's a whole parasha in the Torah that requires us, and it's codified in the Tariq Mitzvahs, to write a Megillah Sota to be Mashka the Megillah Sota. Therefore, he says, stomach Sheir v'lo be'inin kavanah l'shma. It becomes absolutely equal to Kodshim, with one difference. That in the case of Megillah Sota, we could allow for absolutely no awareness of the fact that he's writing a Megillah Sota. What would that case be, Rabbi Osai? He has no awareness that he's even writing a Megillah Sota. Forget that. To whom? For whom he's writing it? Which case?
Sefer Torah.
Sefer Torah. And in fact, Tosfos wants to say that you could take a Sefer Torah, and he bases it on the case of Lislame. The Gemara says in Erevin that if a Megillah Sota was written by an apprentice who's learning how to write, then it's kosher. And therefore, Tosfos concludes that if the Sofer took a Sefer Torah and he whittled it down just to that parasha that was written as a Sefer Torah, the parasha of Sota, lo and behold, he's got himself a Megillah Sota. That, he says, the Keren Ora, goes even a step beyond Kachim. In the parallel case in Kachim, and now we go back to page Beis, to the paragraph that starts Mahainu time on the right side, he's got a Sugya Mesechta Zvachim Daf Mem Zayin, and the Gemara says that Misasek B'Kodshim is possible. He's not even aware of the fact that this animal is a Behemoth Kodshim, and he goes ahead and he shechts it. The Gemara derives from a Pasuk on Daf Mem Zayin. Again, if anyone has the Gemara, we should open it up. It happens I don't have it, but if you can open it up to Daf Mem Zayin and see if you can find the Pasuk, the Yalfusa tells me that Misasik B'Kodshim is possible. Now, what would be a case of Misasik B'Kodshim where he doesn't know it's Kodesh? To what would it be similar? What would be its parallel in Get or in Megillah Sota? Lislamin. Does everybody see that? The Keren Ora postulates the following, in Hebrew we call it Hagbalah, the following parallelism. He says that what Lislamed is in Get, Misasik is B'Kodshim. Just like Mislamed means he's not aware of the fact that he's writing a Get for the purpose of Gerishin, so too Misasik, he's not aware of the fact that he's shechting a Karbon for the sake of Akravas HaKarbon. And therefore, he says that let's analyze the case of Misasik in Get and see what impact it would have on its parallel case of Misasik B'Kodshim. So Misasik in Get would be Lislamit. Again, Misasik means the lack of awareness. He has no awareness of the fact that he's writing a Get for the purpose of Gerish, and he's just an apprentice learning how to write letters, or sculptural letters, whatever he's learning. And in the case of Kodshim, he's not aware of the fact that it's Behemas Kodesh. That's exactly parallel. Oh. So now the Keren Ora wants to analyze. In Get, the Gemara establishes, based on a Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet in Gittin, that if the Get was written with Slamid by this apprentice, it's possible, even though he got the names right by, it's like winning a lottery ticket, by chance he got the names right. So he was practicing the name Avram and the name Leah, and sure enough, Avram and Leah come knocking on the door and saying, hey, wait a minute, I heard you were yelling out my name, I need a Get desperately, can I buy it cheap, slash price? So it's possible. Oh, bless you. Now, can we draw the same conclusion about Misasik and Kodshim to be possible? If you're going to say yes, you're in trouble, because the Gemara needs a special Yalfusa. That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Mitch, you were able to find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the pasuk there, if you don't mind?
V'shachad es ben habakar lifnei Hashem.
V'shachad es ben habakar lifnei Hashem. And what is the Toshval Pe'e to that?
Hachet heishchita l'shem ben bakar.
L'shem ben Bokar. Somehow ben Bokar means, as Rashi said, what ben Bokar means, it means Kodesh, I guess, here in this context. It means a Karbon. Yeah? But maybe Schneins also say it? Somebody should say it. Okay. You don't have Mem Zayin here, right? That's in the third volume or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I needed the word carbon. Okay, I'm hoping that somebody will add ben bokar. That's a carbon, meaning there was akadosha the ben bokar. Okay. Now, the Keren Ora would say the following: we're really a little bit in trouble here, because if Misasik B'Kodshim is parallel to Lislamed, then Mimanashak we're in trouble. If you're going to tell me that the parallelism should lead to the conclusion that Misasik Pekotchim is Pasul just the same way that a Get Lislamin is Pasul, then why do I need the Pasuk over there, Ben Bakar, we'll call it? Dalbiach. I mean, a Get Lishma certainly excludes a guy who's just writing it and he has no Lishma in mind. He's just practicing his writing. And here the guy is shechting, maybe he's practicing his shechita, but he has no clue that it's a ben bakar, that it's a karman. So why does Mar need a pasuk for that? If on the other hand you're going to tell me, no, in kachim, where the din is mistama lishma, and you don't need a positive kavana, therefore you could say that misasek is kosher, and if I need exeris hakosher, just like in get, where the Torah says you need a lishma, you have to designate this as a get, and he's just writing it for the sake of writing. So too in karban, the Torah says lishma means he's not just shechting an animal; he's doing it as a karban, and therefore it would be possible. And then once again, I would argue: so why do I need the alfusa? But the answer is no, because in the case of kachim, what is the parasha lishma telling me? That a negative kavana passes the karban. Here he didn't have a negative kavana. He didn't have a karbana shlavim l'shem ola. He had no clue shlavim. He thought it was an animal off the street, Elsie the cow. That's all. He didn't know anything better. And therefore, it's kosher. No, now I'm in trouble because the Gemara says that in kosher it's possible. It must be that mistama is not lishma. That I need a lishma. From the very fact that we derive from Exeris HaKasuf that misasek is possible in kachim, it must mean that you need a lishma. Just like in get, lislamed is possible because you need a positive lishma. So too in kachim, you need a positive lishma. And therefore, it's possible. If that's what the Torah is telling me, then we have to throw overboard everything we've been saying. We've just been working very hard to prove that lishma in kachim does not require a positive kavana. Just as long as you don't have a kavana that's negative for the sake of another zeva. So why should misasik be possible? So at this point, the Keren Ora has a breakthrough. And he says that misasik is worse than mistama. We've been assuming that just like in the case of mistama, he doesn't have in mind l'shem ola, and therefore we want to assume that in misasek he also didn't have in mind l'shem ola. But yet, in the case where he didn't have in mind l'shem ola, the zevach is kosher. That's why in misasek it should also be kosher. Then says the Keren Ora, misasek is worse than stama. Misasek is worse than having zero kavana. Because he has a Gemara here at the beginning of Zvachim. The Gemara wants to establish that maybe this is the, I call him the phantom adversary. In other words, sometimes, Rava says that you need a positive Lishma and Gittin, and the Gemara fights Rava tooth and nail. There's some unnamed, faceless, anonymous Mora out there who has to be convinced that Rava is right, that in Get, we don't have a principle that we had in Kachim of Stama Lishma, but we rather need a positive, real Kavan. So the Gemara battles against that. This is the phantom adversary, the unknown adversary. And he first quotes the Mishnah of Lislamed, and he says, well, you'll see here that Mistama is not Lishma. So how could you, this phantom adversary, insist that just like in Kachim there's Mistama Lishma, so too in Get there's Mistama Lishma? The Mishnah says that if you wrote a Get Lislamed, it's possible. What happened to Stama Lishma? So the Gemara answers, Lislamed is worse than Mistama. If the guy, this Sofer, wrote it for the sake of a Get for any lady that comes in with that name, wherever she comes from on the face of the earth, fine. That's called Mistama. And in Okinami, that would work. This is the adversary of Rava. Rava holds not like that, but the Makshan holds like that. But the case of Lislamed, there was no Kavana L'shem Gerushin. That's Bechlal, not a Get. Even though Mistama, if he hasn't mind any lay on the face of the earth, that would be a Get. Let's see the Gemara inside, so you don't think I'm inventing it.
So Mitasik is Pasul?
And Mitasik is Pasul in the Mishnah, so Lechor, that would prove that you don't apply the rule of Mistam Lishma. The Mistam Lishma is not correct. So take a look on that Beis Amin Beis. The Gemara says on Daf Beis Amin Beis that where is it? Just 1 second. Oh, it's at the bottom of Daf Beis Amin Beis. Gemara says the following. The Gabi get the stomach apostle me know. How do we know? Okay, it should be about 6 lines up from the bottom, 7 lines up from the bottom of Beis Amin Beis. Everybody have that? Gabi get the stomach apostle me know. How does Ravan know that? In conscious, the kodshim where stoma lishma in get stoma is possible. Elam, if you'll tell me mihadisnan for the Mishnah that says that if a man wants to divorce his wife, vaya over bashuk, and he passed by a place where he heard, you know, they were tumulting about a get that they're writing, vishama sofrim, and he heard the sofrim makrim ish ploni and isha plonis. So he heard they were writing a get for Avram and for Leah. V'yomar, hey, this is my lucky day. I won the jackpot. Zeshmi v'zeshem ishti. It's possible l'garishbo. So you see that mistoma is lav lishma. So the Gemara says, no. Really, mistoma is lishma, not just in Zvachim, but also Git. This is the adversary of Rava, right? But Dilma, Kidra Papa, let's accept the interpretation of that Mishnah of Rav Papa. The Omer Rav Papa, Hacha b'sofrim asuyim l'slamed askinon. He didn't pass by, you know, a sofer who was writing Gittin. He passed by the apprentices who were writing Gittin in order to learn how to write. V'lo ichtiv l'shum krisis klal. So again, Rav Osai, let's get to mathematics here. The Gemara on the one hand holds that in the case of get mistoma, it's kosher. But in the case of shalol, l'sherim, gerish, and klal, that's called l'slamin, it's possible. What's the difference between the two? In the first case, the man writes it for the sake of gerish, just he has in mind any Avram and any Leah that fit the bill. The Gemara wants to say in such a case, the get could be kosher as soon as Avram and Leah show up. But in the case where he's writing l'slamin, it's not l'shem, gerish, and klal, that's worse than stoma. Says the Keren Ora, if that be the case, then this has implications in Zvachim. Because even though in Zvachim stole Lishma, but if it would be Lislamid, i.e. Misasek, then it would be one step lower than Lishma. And therefore, even in Kachim, where I don't need Lishma, but there are two cases where even in Kachim would be possible. One, if he has a negative Kavana, and two, if he has no awareness whatsoever, then it's Kachim. And that's called misasik. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk. That even though stomel lishma, I don't need a positive kavana in kachim, but nevertheless, as long as I'm aware that I'm shefting a carbon, I don't know which carbon it is, that's fine. But if I have no awareness, zero awareness of the fact that it's kachim, it's a carbon, then we have a xeris akosu, that's worse. And the Gemara applies that same logic to get. That even if I would hold stomel gerish and say he could write a get for any Leah on the face of the earth, and that would be kosher, but if he doesn't know, if he's not aware of writing this as a get, he's just writing letters in order to practice his letter writing, that's possible. That's one darga lower than mistomel. So it comes out, according to Keren Ora, that we have three tiers. How do you spell that? T-I-E-R? Yeah, you have three tiers. You have the highest tier, which would be lishma in a positive sense. You have the middle tier, which is stoma, and you have the lower tier, which is even worse than mistoma, and that's called misasek or lislam.
It's actually the fourth.
And what's the fourth?
What did I leave out? L'shem something else.
Oh, what was the first one that I had? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. So let me start again. So the three tiers are the following. One is where he has the wrong carbon or the wrong ish in mind. The next level is where he has no ish in specific, so no particular carbon in mind. And the third level, the lowest level, which even if I hold stubborn would be operative, but nevertheless, if he has no awareness, that's possible. Now, those are the three tiers. Oh. Now we have to take up the case of Megillah Sota. Where does Megillah Sota fit into this picture? So you'll tell me, well, okay, the man wrote a Sefer Torah, now he wants to use it as Megillah Sota. That's fine, because Stama Lishman Megillah Sota, because a Sota is Omeris Ligerish. So the very moment that she becomes a Sota, we should therefore say that she's Omeris Lekriyas Megillah, Leksivas Megillah Sota, and therefore Stama Lishman. It's exactly like Kachin. New Tosus goes ahead based on the Sugyan Erevin, and he says that even if it was written as a Sefer Torah and not as a Megillah Sota, it's kosher. Or, for example, the Gemara in Erevin, when there was an apprentice who was learning how to write and he wrote a Megillah Sota, it's kosher. Now the Karen Ohr is in trouble. Why? Because even if you accept the equation between Megillah Sota and Kodshim, meaning that Stama Lishma works in Kodshim, and it also works the same in Megillah Sota, because it's not like a Gedisha where there's no mitzvah in Darisha, or at least the 99% right. But in Megillah Sota, it's a mitzvah to write the Megillah Sota to be Mashkin the Sota, therefore Stam Sota Lig Megillah Sota Omedes, and therefore Stama Lishma. But here's a case of Misasek. Here's a case where the man is not writing it with any awareness that's going to be used as Megillah Sota. He's either an apprentice, or he's writing a Sefer Torah. In Kachim, if you accept that equation, that would be possible. And therefore, Megillah Sota, it's going to be possible. And that's the beginning of this paragraph, Ayanira, on page Gimel. He says, Ayanira, the Yesh Lechalik ben Megillah Sota, Leget, the Hatzvar Guf, the Aminon Hacha. What was the distinction between Zvachim and Get, the Sota? That the Gemara says that get is lav legerish and omedes, whereas zvachim is lehakrav omedes, because the zevach, there's a mitzvah to bring the zevach. Is sota gamkein stoma omedes leksivas megillah ulash kosa. And if that be the case, we gained a tremendous amount, because we begin to understand that if the Megillah Sota was written mistama, like the case of Lislamit or the case of Sefer Torah, then it's kosher. That sounds good. But then he says, that's not too good. Why? Because Lislamit is one madrega lower. And even if I would say mistama is kosher, I would still say Lislamit is possible. Correctly, because Stoma is one madrega, one tier higher than Lislamed. That's one question he asks. Then he asks another question. He says the following, that in the case of a Sota, he says, Harashus biad bailo shalolash kosa. Right, Tosis says that get, it's optional. He decides whether he wants to divorce his wife. No one could force him. And now the Karen Ohr claims that in Sota also, the Gemara establishes that a Rishus Biad Baal Shalolash Kosa. And according to Tosin's theory, that Omeres means that there's a mitzvah to do it, there's no mitzvah, he's not compelled to do it in the case of Sota. Chlola de Milsa, he says on the next paragraph, beget be'ina dafka kavana l'shmavel bezvachim yalfina mikra, that which we derive from a pasuk, that you need zvicha l'shem shlamim, hainu, you don't need a positive kavana l'shem shlamim, l'mu'ute to exclude l'shem zevach acher. Avalo, it doesn't mean that you require l'chamim bo l'shma. What do you say?
He's equating
sotah
and get.
Right, so we don't understand the two things. Number one, why Mistama Lishma works by Sota, since there's no mitzvah, he doesn't have to be Mashke the Sota. Number two, we don't understand why Lislamed, in the case of Sefer Torah, where it's a Misasek, why the Megillah Sota is kosher, if after all we accept the case to Zvachim, in Zvachim Lislamed is possible, because the So Kamsel and Keren Oren, he suggests the following. That logically, Misasek would also be kosher in Zvach. Once we have halach in Zvach, and that Lishma means you shouldn't have a negative Lishma, then in the case of Lislamin, he doesn't have a negative Lishma. He has no kavana whatsoever, and that would be kosher. Elo what? We have Xeris HaKosev, as we saw Mitch opened up to Mem Zion. And there, the Gemara Dashens from a Pasuk, that Lislamin is possible. Lifnei Hashem. But if there is no Pasuk, then Mistama would include even Misasik. Why? Because there's no negative kavanah. In Soto, where we don't have the Xeris HaKosev, therefore Lislamin is kosher. So again, it comes out that the Keren Oren switches the rules of the game a little bit. He says, let's look at the rules of the game before the Limud, before the Alfusah there in on Mem Zayin. And there, before the Alfusah, the Hamina was that a Korban that was shechted with zero awareness, he's not even aware that it's Kodshim, would be kosher because there's no negative Kavanah. It wasn't L'shem Zevach Akher. And therefore, in Megillah Sota, where the din is Stama Lishma, then Stama Lishma includes any time that there's no negative Kavanah L'shem Isha Acheres. So Islamid is okay. Narvaz. In the Maskana, the Gemara has Xeris HaKosev in Kodshim. The Torah requires in Kodshim that he at least, minimum, he has to be aware of the fact that he's Shechting. It's got to be a Shchitas Zevach. If it's not a Shchitas Zevach, it's nothing. We don't look at the physical reality that he's the Shechting a Zevach. We look at the kavana that makes this shchita into a shchita as a zevach. And if he's not aware of the fact that it's a zevach, that's called misasik and it's possible. But in the case of a Megillah Sota, all we need is the physical action of writing the words. Doesn't matter what lishma, what kavana he has in mind, what awareness he has, as long as he doesn't have l'shem isha acheres. That's the upshot of the Keren Oren. So, now he asks the following question. So just give me. No, yeah.
Go. So with Asik in Sota is kosher?
That's what Tosfos seems to say. Again, you have to assume that somehow she's omenes l'ksivas ha-megillah. And we're not sure exactly how that works because of the Gemara that says that a man could decide he doesn't want to be mashke his Sota. But leaving that aside, let's assume that Mistama is kosher in what? In Megillah Sota, then therefore even Islamid will be kosher. In the case of Kodshim, Mistama is kosher, but Mistama is possible. That's because of the separate Gzeres HaKosev in Kodshim, that you want to make this, the Shechita Zevach into a Shechita of a Zevach, as opposed to just a Maisa Shechita of the Alma, and for that you need some awareness of the fact that it's Kodshim. But we don't have such a Gzeres HaKosev in Megillah Sota. Vakati, now we're on the left column. Ikal of Medik. I would add the following words. Torah Eve, a little more than Itzach. Are you telling me, asks the Keren Oren rhetorically, that when you bring a karban, you don't need any kavana whatsoever? As long as it's not a negative kavana? He says, I don't understand. You don't need some. The Torah doesn't require any sort of lishma. He says lehatchila for sure. Vaday mashma. It would seem shetzarach mashavah lishma. All this that we're presenting, that the whole parasha of lishma and all the limudim that establish lishma and kodesh means you can have nothing in your mind as long as you don't have a negative kavod l'shem zevach acher. I can prove to you, he says, that l'chatchila for sure you need a machshava l'shma. Now at this point, Rabosai, he's not operating misvara. He's not saying that my logical intuition tells me that for sure l'chatchila you have to have a l'shma for the mitzvah of bringing an ola, or the mitzvah of bringing a shlamim. He's saying I have a proof of a mishnah. So whatever your logical heart tells you, leave that on the outside for the time being. Let's just talk about a Mishnah. I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah that you need Kavana Lishma, at least L'chatchila. How so? Disnan, a Mishnah daf Mevav and Beis, L'shem Shisha Dvar Ma'azevach Nizbach. And one of the six things that you have to have Lishma is L'shem Azevach, for that Zevach. Comes along the Keren Oren, he says something unbelievably revolutionary. He says, I'm a lo min haTorah. What does that mean, lo min haTorah? In the, what's the flip side of lo min haTorah? It's the Rabbanan. The whole business, a whole Gatzah Mishnah. And the Mishnah goes in six different kavanas that you have to have when you're doing the four avodos. El Shemrech Nichoach, I mean, all sorts of fancy things. That's all a rabbinic institution. And what forces the Keren Ohr to that position? Because he doesn't want to interpret the pasuk of Lishma as requiring Lishma in a positive sense. It's therefore willy-nilly, he's forced to a very strange position to assume that all these kavanas are all the Rabbanan. Ah. When I first saw this, I said, come on. You gotta be kidding me. The Mishnah gives me a long list of kavanas and it's all the Rabbanan. So I was the skeptic. And I was waiting for him to seduce me to accept such a pshat in the Mishnah. And by golly, he did it. Because the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi that says, I'm going to say it ba'ofen gas, you know, first, and then we'll fine-tune it. Rabbi Yossi says, Mr. Cohen, when you shech the carbon, do the avodah, have nothing in your mind. Zero. Don't even begin to think l'shem olah, l'shem zeh. Now, I'm not going to talk about the machlokas rishonim, whether it has to be verbalized or not verbalized in your mind. That's going to just derail us. Whatever it is, empty yourself of any lishma. And why is Rabbi Yossi saying this? So Rabbi Yossi has a principle called Lev Bezdin Masna, that when it comes to Kodshim, Bezdin has a very great dominion and control over Kodshim. It's like Lahavdil, it's like in Dini Momenus, we have a principle called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. You know, everything depends upon Bezdin. In Kiddusha, we also have a similar thing called Makadish Al Daiti, the Rabbana Makadish. So the man went ahead and he was Makadish, a woman, and the Rabbana are not happy about it. So they say, you know what, you never gave her a ring. What do you mean I never gave her a ring? I gave her a ring. No, it's not your ring. What do you mean it's not my ring? I paid good money for this ring. So the answer is Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and the Kiddushin is completely null and void, right? So Bezdin has a super duper power to a providence and a supervision over Kodshim, and they could say, you know what? Empty your head of any lishma whatsoever. Why did they do such a thing? Why did they exercise such a strange takana? Yeah, exactly. Because we're afraid he's going to have the wrong machshava. So let's assume machshava means dibur for amira, according to those rishonim. So instead of declaring an ola, this is done l'shem ola, he says this is done l'shem chatos. You know, the man is so confused. So he says chatos instead of ola. He says shalom instead of ola. So to avoid that situation, because karbanos are very expensive, my brother-in-law does research at the Hebrew University on animals. So he said that a rabbit today is up to hundreds and hundreds of dollars, even a rabbit. You know, so if you wanted to, so they allow you to do research on small animals. I don't want to mention their names because I get all chills when I mention the names of those creeping animals. But anyway, so you don't want to passel a carbon. The carbon could cost a good deal of money. I'm talking about a behema. So what we did is, says Rabbi Yossi, we made an absolute t'nai bezdin that no kavanah whatsoever. Empty your mind of any kavanah. Frekti, the Keren Orah, how can you do such a thing? The Torah requires kavanah, and Rabbanan are going to do away with the requirement of kavanah? The answer is no. The entire requirement of Lishma is only the Rabbanan. And therefore the Rabbanan can exercise their rights in order not to passel the karma, because the Torah would passel the karma if he has the wrong machshava. If he says ol l'shem shlomim, it's not ol l'shem this or chatos, whatever he has in mind other than a chatos and passels the karma. Let's avoid all those headaches. And let the Kohen have nothing in his mind. Better zero than to risk the possibility that he might have a negative thing. He says, Mashma, from Rabbi Yossi, we have to derive the conclusion, there was never a din that the Rabbanan required a Lishma. Excuse me, sorry, that was a bad mistake. There was never a din that the Torah required a Lishma. L'chatchila. Because a Tanai Bezdin, how could that work? You know, Tanai Bezdin is going to come along and undermine a requirement of Lishma in the Torah.
Why not?
Right?
Sure, well, that's it.
No, because what's going to happen is you're going to be machshir a carbon that's possible. That far we can't go.
No, they didn't say that. They said you don't have a carbon.
No, why? The Torah requires lishma, and the Torah says that if you have a shalom lishma, it's going to be possible. And now the rabbanim can say no. Let's avoid all these problems and get rid of lishma. So he says that it must be that lo be'ina, the last, take a look at the last line in this paragraph. You could underline this. This has to be in you know, shine neon lights. He says the lo be'ina kavana lishma klal min haTorah, which is a position that the Karen Orr feels very comfortable about, because his whole thesis is that all these psukim that pasture, that mandate lishma is only to tell you don't have a negative kavana lishma, but there never was a requirement of having a kavana lishma. He goes on in the next paragraph, which we'll skip for the time being, to analyze a Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis, and the Rambam seems to take the Gemara, the Mishnah Kipshuta, that you do require some sort of lishma, lechatchila, on a Doraisa level. Well, at this point, you know, there's a very fascinating discussion here in the Keren Ora about the following. If I assume that lechatchila, at least the Torah leMitzvasa requires a kavana, whose kavana is it? Is it the Bailim, or is it the Kohen? And he wants to say that when we derive the principle of istam lishma, a Bailim koi. This is fascinating. Notice the Bailim. We can assume, until we know otherwise, that the Bailim don't have a wrong kavana. He says, "Umachsheves haBailim lo nitzcha klal l'didan." So, according to one shita, you know what? For sure, the Torah doesn't require a machsheves haBailim. If you would postulate that the Torah requires the chatchil mitzvah, so a lishma, it's only on the part of the Kohen who's doing the mitzvah, he's doing the avodah, but not the Baal HaKorban. Avo Kohen HaOved, Afshar, maybe we could, it's if the Rambam really indeed requires Kavana Lishma, a positive Kavana, it's Kohen HaOved. It's Tzorach Shiyachshav Lishma, but the Bailim don't need any positive lishma. We can apply the principle of stava lishma. So he's operating on two levels here. On one level, he's saying you don't even need lishma. Nobody needs lishma. On the other level, he's saying we do need lishma lechatchila. However, who's going to have this lishma? It's either the bailim or the kohen. He wants to say that as far as the bailim is concerned, mistama, even if he has no lishma, it's considered lishma. But the kohen perhaps needs a positive lishma. So then he writes the following: the Od Kasha de Lama Le Tnai Bezdin Lazer. Why, therefore, does the Shita Rabbi Yossi require a Tnai Bezdin, that Bezdin has to actively intervene in order to circumvent the problem of Lishma, and therefore say, better that he has no Lishma? Hare Ein Ha Machshava Leches El Acher Ha Oved. If the thrust of the requirement of lishma, according to this pshat, that he says Dilma, that maybe Efshar Tzarech lishma, maybe the Kohen Ovi maybe leads lishma. He says that again he's in trouble, because if he's admitting that the Kohen Ovi needs lishma in a positive sense on a Doraisa level, then once again, what's this Tnai Bezdin, that Bezdin should get involved here to completely remove that requirement of Lishma? He says the following. He says that Bittul Machsheves HaBailim Mitnai Bezdin Hu V'yesh Koch B'yodam Lahotzi HaKarbon Mirshuso Le'inyin Zeh Shelo Yoyel Machshavto. He says that the Manashav Bezdin has no problem over here. If you're talking about the Machshava of the Bailim, then Bezdin has a way of circumventing the problem of Lishma by declaring that he's not the Bailim of the Karban. Maybe that's Hefker Bezdin. I don't know, bless you. He doesn't spell out exactly the mechanics. He says, Yesh Koch B'yodam Lahotzi Es HaKarban Reshusa. So if there is a din of Shalolishma with regard to Machsheves Habaylim, that he says the Tanai of Beis Din is to completely be Mavatel of Machsheves Habaylim, because the Beis Din has the authority to establish that this carbon doesn't belong to them, it's not theirs. And therefore, Lo Yoel Machshavta. Now, what motivated the Chacham to do such a drastic thing and take the carbon out of his Rishus? Tiknu came mishum shechashishu shema yomru abaylim shelo lishma yomru. He says, "Okay, that's the other problem that I mentioned." So he's afraid that the baylim might make a declaration about this ola that it's shlomim. So in order to avoid that, they went as far as to take the carbon out of his rishus. Okay, but wait a minute, he still works on another level. The kohen has to have a machshava. Remember, he was operating with two machshavos. He says the Lekohen lo chashish. They were never worried about the Kohen. Why? I mean, you could write the text without seeing it. Kohen's reasoning. So this is really something. You know, the Kohen has reason, and they didn't have to exclude the Machsheves HaKohen. And therefore, the Tanai Beis Din here is to be Oker, to be Motzi, the Karmi Mishus HaBailim. So the Bailim should not have a negative Lishma.
Yeah, no,
just 1 second. This is Tom Apostle. But now he seems to backtrack. He says, how then can we learn from this case of Lishma that even Stama is kosher? I mean, if the Rabbanan had to make a takana in order to avoid this situation, they did away with Lishma. He says, in Stama Apostle, if we would have said that you need a positive Kavod Lishma, Atu Mishum Chashasha Deshema Yomru Shalo Lishma Yitakmi Shalo Yichashiv Klal Demifzal Behu Vavadai. As they want to avoid a situation where he has a Shalo Lishma and it would pass the Karbon, but now it's saying you need a positive Kavona in order to be Masha the Karbon. How is that possible that they would that they would establish that he shouldn't have any Kavona whatsoever, that passing the Karbon Vada? Yeah, in the case of Shalo Lishma, I don't know. You know, there's a possibility that maybe Ilchashov will have the wrong Lishma. But if you're going to require Lishma in a positive sense, then by telling him don't have any Kavona, you're passing the Karbon Vada. Elishmamina, we have to conclude the mistama kosher lekuliyama bein bebailim ubein bekoin, and therefore you don't need a lishma. Ela what mirabona we want to have a lishma lachi tiknu the bebailim shaloyomer klal, the bailim shouldn't say anything kidei shaloyoveli they michshol ubitlu machshav to legamri, as we said before, that his machshav doesn't register because they were mafkia the ownership over the korban. Okay. So, Alan, I'll come back to your question later. I'm always worried about the clock here, and I want to get to the main topic for today. Okay? All this was just an introduction. Okay?
We finished the introduction.
I just finished the introduction to the Karen Ora's introduction. Now we get to the main point of this learning. I asked you before, why does the Karen Ora make the statement, Devadai mashma shetzorech machsheves lishma, that for sure it would be the simple position to take that we need a lishma? So we said, because he has a Mishnah that Beis Din did away with lishma, with a kavana, it must be that there's no requirement of kavana. They couldn't take a carbon that's possible midaraisa because you need lishma, and they couldn't pass. So that was the Mishnah. Was there a possibility that the Karen Ora would come to the same exact conclusion that mashmos, that you certainly need lishma without a Mishnah, without a source, but simply al pi svar? That's our topic of today. On page Dalit, he says, al kol panim zev barur, we've now concluded, dileka mitzvah natorah lechashiv lishma. And he says the following, the Iman HaTorah Tzarech Shiyachshav Lishma, and we said before, how could the Rabbanu make a takana that he doesn't have a machshav lishma? He says, Minolan L'chalek Diyim Lo Chashav Lishma Olu L'Bailim U'machshav Shalo Lishma Lo Olu L'Bailim. He says there are two different dinim in Lishma. If he had a machsheva shelo lishma in all kodshim. Right? I'm sorry. If he had no machsheva whatsoever in shar kodshim, then it's an absolutely complete kosher karmon. But if he had a machsheva shelo lishma, then he wasn't yotzei ischi of karmon. He has to replace it. How can he make those distinctions? Kevon the chad kra nafka travay. The Karen Ora works with operates with a mechanical principle that if you derive two, you cannot derive two halachas that are fundamentally different from each other from the same pasuk. If the pasuk is requiring kavana, then we're in trouble. And if the Torah in this pasuk is not requiring kavana, and therefore if he didn't have machshava lishma, it's a kosher karbon, then how can you tell me that even in a machshava shelo lishma, it undermines the fulfillment of his obligation? Does everybody see that? So therefore he has to come to the conclusion that you don't require kavana. And that's all the pasuk is telling me. But if he has a negative kavana, that's mafkia, the olu l'shem bailim l'chofa, in kain kosher. This is, if I had a drum roll, this is where I play the drums. This is very dramatic. Maishna mikol mitzvahs ha-Torah. Forget about get. Forget about Megillah Sota. Let's just take kodshim and place them to the light of mitzvahs ha-Torah. One of the mitzvahs ha-Torah is kodshim, right? To bring a korban is a great mitzvah in the Torah. Well, let's compare it to all mitzvahs in the Torah. Let's compare it to shofar. Let's compare it to mitzvah milah. Let's compare it to the mitzvah of tefillah. And let's come to brass tacks and say, do we need lishma? Do we need to have a kavan in all mitzvahs? Do we not? Kashali, maishna mikol mitzvahs, ha-Torah. Why should kodshim be different than all the mitzvahs in the Torah? Very dramatic question. We have a man the Omer who says mitzvah srichas kavana. Here in my text it says ayin brachos. That's a sugi in brachos and tefillos. Ayin erevin. That's a sugi in tefillin. I'm sorry. I retract my statement because I would have quoted a different sugi, a sugi of psachim, which I taught here on a Wednesday night not long ago. And the Gemara says mitzvah srichas kavana, and that's why if he only has one yerek, and that yerek is a chazeres, and he eats it at the beginning of the seder for the purpose of tibul, you know, as a heker for the tinokos, he makes a bracha alachilus mar when he eats the second yerek, which is the second chazeres that he has. He only has chazeres; he has no other vegetables. Guy must be living a very bitter existence if he has no vegetables except for chazeres. Anyway, that's all he has. So then when he gets to the Morar, he makes a bracha on the Achilles Morar. So the Morar says, what do you mean? How can he make the bracha? He was already yotzei the mitzvah Morar on the first round on the table. So the Morar says that he didn't have kavana. So the Morar says, what do you mean he didn't have kavana? We hold that mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. So the Morar says, no, we hold mitzvahs srichas kavana. That's Rav Yossi. So anyway, we have a sugya over there. Then we have a sugya in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Ches that requires kavana in the case of shofar. So therefore, if I want to be motzi in a shofar, I have to kavana that I'm going to be motzi. You have to kavana that you l'shem mitzvah that you're hearing the kol shofar. So we have zillions of cases all over Shas where, at least according to one school of thought, mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Now you could tell me, well, maybe our sugya in Zvachim is holding mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, but he doesn't even raise that possibility because, after all, this principle that in Zvachim you don't need lishma the way the Karen Ora understands it is such a fundamental principle that it's got to square with everybody. You know, you can't tell me that we're going according to one man the other who says mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. He says, "Maishna avodas kodshim de lekuliyama lo be'inin kavana." This is a basic, you know, fundamental tenet of the faith of kodshim, that kodshim doesn't need lishma. Therefore, you're doing away with the kavana, and now you're telling me that it's different than all mitzvahs ha-Torah. Now he quotes the Gemara Psachim about chazeres. He says, "Rav Yossi gufa." This Rav Yossi that we proved from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin, who holds that there's no requirement of kavana, and therefore Leib Bezdin Master, that he should have an empty brain, That same Rav Yossi holds in Masechta Psachim, in Perek Avri Psachim, that mitzvah srichas kavana. And now in Kodshim he's going to say we don't need kavana. So he's going to offer a number of possible answers to this question, but I have a Yetzahara to say my own teretz, and I don't think the question gets off the ground, which really bothers me, because, you know, how can the Keren Ora write an entire introduction with 15 paragraphs to answer a question that doesn't get off the ground? That's going to bother me. But I don't think the question gets off the ground. I'll tell you why. Nobody is talking about kavana in kodesh. In mitzvahs, you can talk about kavana. Yeah, tzrichas kavana, or lo tzrichas kavana. Kavana means, in mitzvahs, what motivates you to do this? Like, for example, Gemara has a case in Shofar of Tokel Shir. I never understood why a person who's interested in musical sounds would choose, of all the instruments in the world, he would choose a shofar. Das basically. Maybe he's playing reverie in the, what's it called? Reveille. Did I get that right? You know, to wake up the soldiers, so he takes out a shofar. Maybe that'll get him out of bed. I don't know. But whatever it is, the Gemara has a case called Tokel Shir. So, you know, a person blows a shofar and he hears the call. What's his purpose in mind? Is he doing it with Hashem mitzvah? Does he have a kavana that this should be for a mitzvah? The Hashem commanded him? Or he's doing it for another reason. You know, I was thinking to myself,
we're just in a chatuna this week, and they were talking about shofar.
Really? Here comes the bride.
And it wasn't Yom HaTzmaut?
Two shofars playing, here comes the bride.
Yeah, two shofars, here comes the bride. Very good. You know, I for 18 years I was Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva Mavaser Tzion, and there's a kola there, so the kola of Mavaser Tzion, on Yom HaTzmaut they blow the shofar, you know. So I was thinking to myself, the Rav had already gone, but he had never lost it. But yeah, I was going to call up the Rav and say, Rebbe, I was in Mevaseret Zion, and they blew the shofar Rosh Hashanah. Excuse me, on Yom HaTzmaut, not on Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaTzmaut, they also burned it on Rosh Hashanah. on Yom HaTzmaut. So I was imagining the Rav getting angry on the other end of the phone, you know, and saying to me, "What? They blew shofar on Yom HaTzmaut? That's like from the Arabian Nights, you know." But anyway, you can blow shofar for any number of reasons. So there's a halacha called Mrs. Srichas Kavana, according to that man, the owner. And that means that you have to direct your action for the sake of a mitzvah. And in order to fulfill a mitzvah, you have to, according to this man, the owner, you have to do it for the sake of a mitzvah. And again, that might apply in the case of Mila, because, you know, maybe it's healthy to do Mila, I don't know. The Goyim now today say it's not relevant to health, and if I care, it causes trauma to the kid. Kid's going to be psychologically damaged for the rest of his life. You know, saying that. I never felt that was true, but that's what they're saying now, and they want to institute laws prohibiting Mila, Chas v'Shalom. But there are any number of reasons why you do something. Again, lulav is a little bit tough. I don't know why you'd shake a lulav. That's like a little bit strange. But, you know, maybe there were pagan religions where they shake lulav. Thus, basically. So we need kavana l'shem mitzvah. That I can understand, mitzvah strichas kavana. In the case of tefillah, Reb Chaim is of the opinion that kavana defines the ma'isa mitzvah. In other words, if you don't have kavana, that you're standing in front of the shechina, it's not even a ma'isa tefillah. Forget about kavana. He says, even if I hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas, it's kavana. Certainly in tefillah, I need kavana to set up the ma'isa mitzvah as a ma'isa tefillah. And, you know, I was thinking in the case of sukkah. A man lives in his house, and it's a very hot sukkah. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it happens quite frequently, and the air conditioning breaks down. So he decides to go out to his sukkah, and his sukkah is more comfortable than his house. You know, today people, they build the most fascinating sukkah. There's even a competition here in Yerushalayim for the most beautiful sukkah. Every year they give out a prize. You know, the judges have to decide. So I'm very comfortable in my sukkah. I saw a guy who takes out his cell phone to his sukkah. He takes out his Skype to his sukkah. He mamish has a blast out in his sukkah. So I don't know if he has kavana l'shem mitzvah sukkah. He has other reasons why he's sitting in the sukkah. Kodshim, we're not talking about Lashma and Kodshim as a kavana halacha. Don't use the word kavana in the context of Kodshim. The man wants to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kodshim. There's no doubt that he has Kavanah L'Shem mitzvah. But we're asking a different question. A question of Lishma, not Kavanah. Lishma means, is it L'Shem Ola? Is it L'Shem Shlamim? And that's a din in the Hechshar HaKarbon. I want to know, not if he's Mekayim the mitzvah. Again, if he's Misasek, that's a problem. He's not aware of the fact that it's a Kodshim. Then for sure, he forfeits the mitzvah. That's okay. A man is misasek, you know, he's trying to clean out his shofar because his stuff caught in the shofar, and he magically, miraculously blows a tekiah shrom through a tekiah. That everybody agrees is not yosei. That's misasek. And in kodshim, misasek. But if he's aware of the fact that it's kodshim, now the halachas of karbon come into play. Is this a valid karbon? Here, the question is, does he have to know at the time of his shechita that he's shechting an olah? Does he have to know that he's shechting a shlamim? I wouldn't call it kavanah at all. Does Rashi use the word kavanah? I don't know, I didn't get a chance to check. Let's just see. Rashi says l'shem shlamim. He doesn't say he's kaveh l'shem shlamim. The word kavanah here, is, again, I'd have to do a word search in Bar Ilan and see if the word kavanah ever shows up in the context of kodshim, but I would say that if it does, it's some sort of a fluke, or maybe the Gemara wants to know if he was Mekayim a mitzvah, then you could talk about kavanah. But we're not talking about mitzvah here. The whole discussion here is not about mitzvah. This discussion is about whether the karbon is kosher or not. We're talking about dinei hechshar karbon. I'll give you an example. Lamai Dover Dom. The Gemara says in Ksubis, I believe, I'm not a Baki, but I think it's on the Ayin Dalet. The only reason I remember that is because I wrote a paper on this topic. The Gemara is talking, and it's a parak called Mitzvah Chalitza. And the Gemara talks about a case in Yibum where the man, again, it's hard to describe this in words, but I'll tell you what the Gemara says, so you can't blame me for writing the text. The man fell off a roof, and he had beer with his Yivama. And the Gemara says he was Kona. She becomes an Ashishish Gemura. It's a Maisa Yibum. Is anybody here going to tell me he was Mekayim in the midst of Yibum? For sure not. The man fell off a roof. Ella what? We're talking about the Maisa, the Maisa Yibum as far as creating and generating a Chaloshem Ashishish. Here also, I want to know if it has a chaloshem karbon. So it, maybe you could say all karbonas fit into some general rule, and then we'll say, well, he was mafresh as an ola, so it's an ola. Or you could say, no, that the hakrov has to be l'shem ola. Just like you have to designate the karbon l'shem ola, you also have to do the hakrov l'shem ola. And that's a din of l'shma. The Gemara says in Yibum, for the midst of Yibum, you don't need l'shma. And even if you didn't have in mind that this beer is l'shem Yibum, or, for example, the Gemara has a case where they convinced him that if he has a relationship with this Yivama, that's how he gets rid of her. Just the opposite. Instead of being Kodesar, he's Motzi her. The Gemara says that she's Mekunesis, that she's a full-fledged Eishesish. Because, you know, in every halach, you have to know, let's say, for example, a Kinyan. You want to know if the Kinyan is Chal. That has nothing to do with Kavana. He doesn't have to have kavanah. Let's say he does an act of hagbah, but he had in mind something else. That's not an issue of kavanah. That's an issue of what we call das. A man has to have das for the sake of a chalos. Like if I sell you something, I have to have kavanah that you should be kona in this object. So maybe in kodshim, that's what we're clearing about here in the Keren Or. You have to have a das that you are focusing or directing this shechita for the purpose of an ola. And if not, it's not a korban ola. The Gemara has a whole sugya. We learned it today in the 9:30 class about a Pesach b'shayimos hashanah. What did he have in mind? Did he have in mind l'shem shlamim? Did he have in mind l'shem ola? And that's going to determine the nature of the korban. The Gemara has a hava meaning that if he has in mind l'shem shlamim, then the Pesach becomes a shlamim. If he has in mind l'shem ola, it becomes an ola. And what do you see? This is the halach of Akira. Akira means that my machshava could identify the whole personality of the korban. It's either this or it's that. It's a shlamim. It's an ola. It certainly can't be a Pesach. Because if you would have kavanah l'shem Pesach, then possible. There's no l'shem Pesach during the whole year. It can only be l'shem Pesach at the zman that's royal of Pesach. But in terms of what Dasi has in mind, does he have in mind L'shem Ola? Does he have in mind L'shem Shlomim? What is the nature of the Karban? Until the Gemara says it has to be similar to Shlomim, and you can't convert and transform a Pesach into an Ola. An Ola is something that gets burnt on the Mizbeach. It's Kuli Kolil. It's not it's not a Nechal. And a Shlomim is like a Pesach. They both are Nechol. Do you follow what I mean by Nechol? You know, the mitzvahs to eat. So therefore, there's enough of a similarity that you can take a Pesach and transform it magically into a Shlomim. How did he transform the carbon Pesach into a Shlomim? The answer is he had in mind L'shem Shlomim. Does that have anything to do with Mitzvah Srikos Kavala? We're not even dealing with mitzvahs here. We're dealing with the status of the carbon, the personality of the carbon, and its kiyum. The kiyum carbon, is it Shlomim? Is it this? Is it that? That's where his machshava comes in. So in terms of the avoda as a hechshar karbon, to generate a kiyum karbon, does he have to have a positive kavana that is l'shem ola? If he has a negative kavana, it's l'shem shlomim, that for sure messes up the karbon. But we're not talking about the mitzvah. It's quite possible that he forfeits the mitzvah, but he's still, the karbon is a karbon. So you don't give him brownie points for the mitzvah, right? When you do a mitzvah, you have to go into mikvah, and you have to say hini mukhna mizuman, l'shem yichli kodju, you have to be miyachik Hashem, whatever you have to do. So maybe he forfeits all that, you know, so unfortunately you won't get the extra credit for a mitzvah. But that's not what we're dealing with. We want to know the status of the karma. So frankly speaking, I don't understand what this is all about. I'll add another point here. I heard from my Rebbe that he used to say that kavanah in mitzvahs has to do with the following issue: the maisa mitzvah. In other words, you have to set up a maisa mitzvah. If your whole mitzvah srichas kavanah, it's the kavanah l'shem mitzvah that sets up the maisa mitzvah. In other words, the Rav used to always say that every mitzvah has two parts. It has the maisa mitzvah and the kiyum mitzvah. And he used to say that the whole machlokas about mitzvah srichas kavanah ain't srichas revolves not around the kiyum mitzvah, but about the maisa mitzvah. For the kiyum mitzvah, you don't need kavanah l'shem mitzvah. The kiyum is automatic. But to set up the maisa as a maisa mitzvah, you're not just going out to the sukkah because it's comfortable. Or you're not blowing a shofar for reverie, you know, in the morning. Then for that, you need what? You might need kavanah. The kavanah says that what I'm doing is a mitzvah. In kodshim, I don't need that. The whole concept of mitzvah's kavanah is irrelevant to kodshim because the basar, the behema is sanctified. It's been designated as a karbon. And when I go ahead and I sheft it, I'm shefting a karbon. The question is, do I have to set it up as a karbon ola? If it's an ola, as a shlomim, it's an ola. There shall olishma my messes up. But certainly it has nothing to do with setting up the maisa as a maisa akrama. It's a maisa akrama by definition. It's not coincidental that this behemoth was sanctified as an ola, and he's doing shchita and kabbalah sadam and olokas sadam and zrika sadam. That's not all just because he's in a good mood that day. You know what I'm saying? He's aware of the fact that it's a karma, but he may not have in mind the specific karma, meaning l'shem shlomim or whatever it is. But I don't know that kavanah would be a prerequisite to make the maisa into a maisa of hakrovas karma. It is a maisa of hakrovas karma. Objectively, what else could it be? But in the case of mitzvahs, there I don't know. Even Mila, perhaps, you know, you could say he's doing it for medical purposes or whatever might come in mind. But let's see his answer. So his first answer, which he rejects, he says, V'lechora, kol ha-mitzvah stomen l'shmankai, came in the osa maisa begufo kekshera. V'chein kosev ha-tosu zal, the stam milo l'shmankai. Interesting concept. He wants to suggest that just like this halach and kodshim of stomel l'shma, so too in mitzvahs you might have a stomel l'shma, but only in specific mitzvahs. So again, he's not differentiating here between l'shma and kavana. They're all the same. You know, if you're talking about stoma in kodshim, you'd have to say it's stomel l'shem mitzvah according to his premise. And in Kodshim we could say it's Stomel Hashem Mitzvah. In mitzvahs, we might also suggest Stomel Hashem Mitzvah, at least in certain mitzvahs. And Tosus says that in Milah it's Stomel Hashem. So now Tosus has a problem. If you can tell me Stomel Hashem in Milah, so then I don't need Kavana. He says that's not true, because in Milah, like in any other mitzvah, we need Kavana. He's saying, Hainu Lafuke L'shem Hagrizen. Because it is possible, says Tosus, that even in the case of Milah, he's not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Milah. And oddly, you'll ask some paradox, so why is he cutting off the Milah? The answer is because that's what they did L'shem Hagrizen. There was some sort of paganistic. Right, so the halacha here requires kavana and lishma, because otherwise we might see it as avodah zarah. But if not for the problem of hagrizim, if not for the problem of somebody might suspect you of doing the meal of shame avodah zarah, then the principle would be that stumble lishma, because why else are you doing milah? But he says umayshna mishar mitzvah the tzrichas kavana. He's saying that if you're going to say Stomel Lishma and Milah, if not for the Hagrizen problem, why not apply Stomel Lishma even in the case of Chazeres, right, of Norar? And therefore, according to Rav Yossi, we're in trouble here, because the reason why the first Achilas Morar is not L'shem Mitzvah, he makes a bracha on the second, is because Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, why not say Stomel Lishma? And we're not going to be able to justify the bracha on the second Morar, he was already Yotzi on the first Morar. Uksiva Sefer Torah Kosu Tosus is Stoma Lav Lishma Kadi, as if to say that logically, according to the rules of the game, and you write a Sefer Torah, certainly you're writing it Lishma. No, in the case of Sefer Torah, for some reason there's Allah of Stoma Lav Lishma. In any event, he's basically caught in a bind here. He doesn't know how to lo yatzanu yadeinu v'raglenu. The whole thing is a mess. It's all bein hashmashos here. I mean, there's no clear light here at the end of the tunnel to tell me when do you say stomel lishma and when do you say that it's not stomel lishma. In Sefer Torah, you're saying it's not stomel lishma. In Milah, you would have said stomel lishma, except that maybe it's lahagrizim and therefore it's lav lishma. And Rabbi Yossi holds in the case of Morar, it's Lav Lishma. You know, so when are you going to say that it is Stomel Lishma? In other words, if basically he's accepting the equation of the question, the premise of his question, that the same dinim of Lishma and Karban apply in Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah. It's all the same, but just that some mitzvahs you say Stomel Lishma and some you don't. So in the mitzvah of Kodshim, we're going to for some reason say Stomel Lishma. The ayin b'mardachai b'ilchus tzitzis. He says that the Mardachai is going to help us to sift this all out, sort this all out, and figure out when you say stomel lishma and when you don't say stomel lishma. Because if I'm not mistaken, in tzitzis also we require lishma, and we're not going to say stomel lishma. That's a little bit of a pellet. You know, the last time I wove a garment, it didn't look like tzitzis. So why would somebody be weaving tzitzis? He's saying at this point I didn't get down to the root of the matter to figure out the mitzvah srichas kavana, meaning if we take kodshim as a paradigm mitzvah, and here in kodshim we're saying stomel lishma, I don't understand why in general we're saying mitzvah srichas kavana. Why not say stomel lishma? And to what extent do we say mitzvah srichas kavana? To the extent that it's absolutely indispensable, and in the absence of a kavana lishma, the mitzvah is gone. It's invalid. You have to start from scratch. So now he takes a stab at. For you nearer to me svara hu de amrinon hachi. I have a svara. This on page hey, on the top. He says the kol she'enam is kaving lotzes misasek bi almahu. This is a very, very famous Karen Ora. That's often quoted in the yeshivas. And he says that according to Maniyom, mitzvah srichas kavana, in the absence of kavana, it's called misasek. U misasek l'kuli alma lo yotza. Like, so the Gemara says by shofar, that was the sugi of mitzvah srichas kavana in shofar, that if he's blowing the shofar to clean it out, then if he happens to have a tekiah shofar, he's not yotze. Misasek is not yotze. So even if I hold mitzvahs enom tzrichas kavana, but nevertheless misasek lo yotze. And he wants to suggest that the chiddush of the Vayi Omer who holds mitzvahs tzrichas kavana is that in the absence of kavana l'shem mitzvah, it becomes misasik. The other Madi Omer is not willing to accept that because he's not misasik. He knows exactly what he's doing. In the case where he's cleaning out the shofar, he has no clue that a tekiah is going to come out. In the case where a man is learning how to write, he has no clue that a Sefer Torah was written.
What about Mila?
In Mila, l'chora, he's aware of the fact that he's doing Mila. So you're going to have to say that according to Manion, Mitzvah Kavona, in the absence of Kavona, it's Misasik. He doesn't tell you why it's Misasik. But he's telling you what the Machlokas is. What's the Machlokas? Each one is at each other's throat. One says Mitzvah Seinem Tzvichas Kavona, one says Mitzvah Tzvichas Kavona. The one who says Mitzvah Seinem Tzvichas Kavona has two levels. He says something called Misasik. That's on the bottom barrel. He's not even aware of the mice that he's doing. And then someone who's aware of the mice is just he's not interested in the mitzvah. In the latter case, he's going to say you're yotze. In the former case, he's not yotze. And then there's another man, the owner says, no, there's no difference between the two cases. And all mitzvahs, even if he's aware of the mice, but he's lacking in kavanah l'shem mitzvah, that's called misasik. He doesn't tell you why. He says, "V'chein im not a lulav l'sachek bo." Again, I was wondering why a person is shaking a lulav. He gives me an answer. He's having a good time playing with the lulav. Again, I don't know of all the toys in the world why a lulav, but in any event, is there for lo min kar l'mitzvaso. And I think maybe this lo min kar l'mitzvaso is what I was telling you that I heard from my Rebbe, that it's not obvious that this maisa is a maisa mitzvah. So again, you may know that he intends to take the lulav, but I don't know that. I'm looking at the external objective maisa, and I don't see any heker that this is a maisa that's a maisa mitzvah. In my mind, when I look at it, I think he's l'sachipo. And that becomes a misasik, because misasik means that he's not aware of the mitzvah, meaning the maisa is lacking. In mitzvahs, you have to have a kavanah in order to upgrade the maisa into what? Into a maisa mitzvah. He calls it minkar mitzvah. So we need minkar mitzvah. In the absence of kavanah, it's lo minkar mitzvah. So that's his new svar. And we're going to see, b'mirtz Hashem, as we go along, that he's not happy with this. Now, Rabbosa, I just want to make one announcement.